Welcome to On Spec, the podcast where you'll hear little stories from across our big world. I'm your host, Nadine Gorey. All this season, we've been examining borders that divide us. Not just physical borders that separate countries, but cultural ones as well. In Zambia, Southern Africa, borders get drawn between people depending on what tribe they're from. Things like who you're dating, or even just what your name is, can create tribal boundaries between Zambians. Tension between tribes really started growing during the colonial period.
Rhodesia in South Africa was a wilderness of belt and jungle.
The part of Southern Africa that eventually became Zambia started to fall under British control at the end of the 19th century. The British forces used the tribes as a way to divide and rule. Zambians were even required to carry around ID cards that listed their tribe, and certain tribes were given special privileges and access to education. Zambia became an independent nation in 1964, but tribal tension is still felt today. Angel Kasabo is a reporter in Zambia's capital, Lusaka. He's been talking to people in his home country about tribalism. That's the belief that one ethnicity is superior to others. In this episode, Tribe and Prejudice, Angel introduces us to two families from different tribes, the Tonga and the Bemba, who have intermarried. It's a really powerful story about how to bridge tension and misunderstandings between families. And it's a deeply personal one for Angel. He's been dealing with tribalism for his whole life. Here's Angel.
When I was a kid growing up in Zambia, I never really thought about what tribe I was from. It wasn't until I got to the sixth grade that I actually learned about my tribe. Each morning at school, the teacher would call out my name, Angel Kasabo. One day the teacher asked me what my last name Kasabo meant.
So Angel, what does your last name mean?
I had no idea. So I asked my mom. She told me it means a small fruit in the Bemba language. Cause you're a Bemba, she told me. That's how I found out my family belonged to the Bemba tribe. You see, Zambia's got 74 different ethnic groups in total and 7 official languages. It wasn't until I grew older that I finally figured out what a big deal it was for me to be a Bemba. We are the largest tribe in Zambia, the majority. Sometimes here in Zambia, people say bad stuff about Bembas. Zambians from other tribes say Bembas talk too much, or they're kind of loud. Bembas are lazy or thieves. It's just one example of how some tribes resent others. How much resentment? It kind of depends on who you're talking to. Recently, I started contacting mixed Zambians who grew up in families where two tribes intermarried. When I started this reporting, I expected to find Zambians separated by tribal borders. But instead, I met families who put their tribe aside and came closer together rather than moving further apart. Hi guys.
Hi.
How are you?
We are good.
Ish, I'm so sorry I'm late, man. I'm at the radio station where I work in Lusaka with Chanda and Chipego. They are siblings in their mid-20s, a brother and a sister, who grew up here. Their parents come from two different tribes.
You guys look sharp.
It's a Bemba-Tonga combination, you know?
Yeah.
Bemba, that's my tribe. Their mom is Bemba too.
I think it's something that flows in the blood, eh?
The Bembas are farmers who live in the north of Zambia. But Chanda and Chipego's dad belongs to the Tonga tribe. They are cattle herders from the south. Bembas and Tongas have a long history of not getting along. But Chanda and Chipego are proud of their mixed background. They are Bemba side and the Tonga side.
All right, I'll bring you the Tonga swag.
The Tonga swag, eh? The Tonga and the... Actually, one of my workmates actually has that ringtone. This is a Tonga song. It's not part of my culture, but I know it well. Music cuts through everything in Zambia. It brings us together. Songs from the seven major tribes here get played on the radio all over Zambia, exposing us to different languages through music.
Yeah. So there's this song.
Lots of songs that we used to sing at school. Eh? Mm.
There is a lot of culture shared by all of Zambia's tribes. That's obvious. But Chandanchipego's relationship to their mixed background wasn't always like this. That's because there is a darker side to the way some Zambians see different tribes.
In the new Africa, one more independent country.
After colonialism ended, smaller tribes were incorporated into the Bemba. Soon, the Bemba really started growing in population, and they moved all over the country, even down to southern Zambia. That's the traditional home of the Tongas. So suspicion and mistrust between Tonga and Bemba really escalated. Zambia has never really experienced the sort of ethnic violence we've seen in nearby countries like Congo or Rwanda. Instead, tribalism usually plays out in small disputes between families. Chanda and Chibego understand this better than anyone.
So, I just want you guys to go down memory lane and just remember.
Oh, who goes first?
I go? You can go first.
I go first?
Yeah.
Ladies first. Oh, nice. I'm with gentlemen in the studio. Okay, so I'm Chanda Mainza.
And I am Chipego Mainza.
And you have nice names.
Thank you so much.
These two names, Chanda and Chipego, represent the mixed dynamic of this family perfectly. You see Chanda, that's a Bemba name. And Chipego, that's a Tonga name. And this was intentional.
Because our parents said, okay, fine, we are blended people, so let's embrace both cultures. And their own way of embracing both cultures was to give us names from where each one of them was coming from.
But Chanda says these names had big consequences for her and Chipego. The Tonga side of her family, the one her brother is named after, did not consider Chanda part of their family just because she had the Bemba name.
They would instead say, like, you know your sister because she's got a Bemba name, so she's Bemba. I came into this world knowing that these are your relatives, and now they are saying, I'm not part of them because I have this name.
They told Chipego that Chanda had all these negative characteristics that Zambians often associate with Bembas.
My elder sister, Chanda, is talkative, she's a crook, you know, she won't amount to anything.
I'm a very jovial person, I'm sure you can tell. Yeah, yeah. So every action that I did, they related to my tribe. Everything. It was just, oh, because she's Bemba. If I'm being all jovial and laughing, they would say that that's how Bembas are. They talk too much. They always want to steal the spotlight. And, you know, just all those sentiments.
This might sound kind of innocent, just like a stereotype of Bembas being loud-mouthed. But as kids, Chanda and Chipego say this had a huge impact on them.
This whole tribe talk started when we were very young. It was actually very toxic for us to be receiving, you know, such sentiments about my sister and certain things that they talked about me.
I couldn't understand because me and my brother had the same mother and the same father, so I didn't know where this whole comparison thing was coming from, why the other one was better than the other one.
The two sides of their family literally kind of divided Chanda and Chipego, and they even started to lose trust in one another.
I would always suspect my sister Chanda whenever I lost something around the house, because I was told, you know, Bembas are thieves and cruel people.
But Chanda was getting the exact same kinds of messages from the Bemba relatives, the ones that considered her a part of them. But not Chipego.
I was told Tongas are very greedy and stingy people. So every time I asked something from my brother, and he said, no, trust me, I never had my doubts that he was. It was because he was Tonga. I was so convinced that this was happening because he was Tonga. You know, so you see how they were playing the mind trick on both of us.
Today, Chanda and Chipego are close. There is no bad blood between them. I will explain how they got there in a bit. But some of that sibling rivalry still seeps in.
But I would lose stuff as well.
Yeah, but I'm not the one that used
to. Something that Chipego still just can't seem to quite let go of was this really special book that went missing.
There was a Christian book that Dad bought for me. So I was looking for it one Sunday afternoon after we came from church. Then Chanda got it.
I borrowed. You're saying I stole it, but there's a difference between borrowing and stealing. So I borrowed.
She borrowed without telling me.
They joke about it today, but Chanda and Chipego say a lot of the fights they had as kids happened because of the things their relatives said.
Yeah, because maybe we thought, what they said about the Tonga and the Bemba were true.
In Zambia, the things relatives say have a lot of weight. Here, extended family plays a much greater influence over us than in many parts of the world.
We don't really call them cousins. We call them either brothers or sisters. That's how we were brought up in our family.
It's the same with aunties and uncles. In Zambia, we call them mothers and fathers. So when Chanda and Chipego heard their aunties start all this tribal talk, they both listened, because their aunties were just as important as their parents.
I heard my aunties on several occasions say Chanda won't go far, she won't make it in school, Chipego will make it because he's naturally intelligent, he's bright, that's how Tongas are. And I used to feel like an outcast, you know, because of such sentiments. I just started to think that people with Tonga names are more intelligent than people with Bemba names.
All that hurtful stuff about her brother being superior because he was Tonga got deep inside Chanda.
I was feeling bad about myself. And I don't know if my brother or my parents or any of my relatives that would actually make such sentiments knew the impact that it had on me, you know.
And all this wasn't the only thing that made Chanda feel inferior. Her brother actually did better than her in school, although Chanda's grades weren't far behind. But the family tribalism turned this into something way bigger than an ordinary sibling rivalry.
And this also led to me hurting my brother. It got to a point where I would just like resent my brother. Even when he tries to come close to me, I just didn't want anything to do with him.
A lot of Zambians are taught to believe in tribalism as kids. Growing up as a Bemba, I used to hear certain things like, if you marry a Tonga person, they're not going to be able to take care of you. I always heard this tribal talk as a kid, but I first really became aware of tribalism through politics. After Zambia became independent in 1964, there was actually a big movement to keep tribalism out of politics and distribute political power evenly between tribes. But after the millennium, Bembas and their allies gained a lot of political power, and Zambian politics became way more tribal. It was the same thing that, years later, Chanda and Chipego would deal with in their own family. When their parents found out their relatives had been spreading these tribal ideas to their children, they were devastated.
So the first thing that happened was that we were stopped from visiting their relatives, and they told us that they couldn't allow the situation to continue.
Chipego kind of felt sad after they stopped visiting some of their relatives. He missed the adventure of traveling to different parts of Zambia, stopping at sugar plantations to buy fresh cane on their way to their families' houses. But now he feels extremely lucky that his parents shielded him from tribalism.
I know families that are now broken because of those sentiments. They've passed on the hatred from one generation to the other.
Chanda and Chipego's parents hoped that cutting off certain relatives would protect them. But for Chanda, the emotional damage was already done.
Okay, I'm going to be very honest here. I became very jealous of Chipego at some point, because he really was doing well in school. But you know, psychologically, when something has been planted in your head, you begin to more or less like experience it, you know, in reality, because of what has been already planted in you. And seeing my brother doing well in school and always coming up with good grades, it affected me in school. I started to feel unworthy. I started to feel like what they were saying was really true. And I told myself, okay, fine, if I'm Bemba and I'm not that intelligent, then why should I even put in more effort and do whatever it is that I need to do? So it really affected my performance at school. So it was really evident that some of those tribal sentiments got to me.
Chande's parents eventually learned that her problems at school were related to the relatives' tribal talk. So the parents sat them down and told them they were luckier than most kids because they came from two different cultural backgrounds. That diversity made them rich with knowledge.
You know, they made us understand that tribe has no bearing whatsoever.
So I told Chipego I love him. And I too was Tonga, and that he was Bemba too, and that there was nothing different about both of us. We were all the same, and we were related. So we just all of a sudden put away everything.
Sitting in the studio, Chanda recited this Bemba proverb her grandmother taught her.
And it says, Umtwewarupwatawitka. Meaning that family will never, ever cease to be family. No matter what happens, you still be family. It's not like friendship where today you work up and you say, I'm done with you, and it ends there. But with family, there's always a bond. There's always something that ties you, and that's blood.
Today, Chanda's finished university and has a good job doing communications work with the government. Chipego says that these days she's doing a lot better than him. Chanda says her family's tribal attitudes made her the woman she is today.
Exactly, because obviously they said I would never amount to anything. And I think partly that actually pushed me to even work extra hard, just so that I proved them wrong. And I just didn't get a chance to go and tell them to their face to say, oh, here I am. But I let everything speak for itself.
Before I ended my conversation with Chanda and Chipego, they wanted to explain to me definitively how they see tribalism.
I think tribalism is evil. I'm not going to beat about the bush. Like, it's evil. It's detrimental to the well-being of societies. And thanking God that we managed to escape from it.
Tribalism is very bad. I know it looks very simple, but it has, you know, the potential to destroy families and even start a war. We saw from what happened in Rwanda, you know, where thousands of people were killed because of tribalism.
Chipego was talking about the genocide that happened in Rwanda in 1994 because of tribalism. About 800,000 Rwandans were massacred when the Hutu tribe attacked the minority Tutsi. Zambians often bring up Rwanda as an example of just how bad things can get. Tribal conflicts can simmer for decades until finally everything snaps. That's exactly what happened in Rwanda. Chipego says his dad told him something about how he and his sister relate to each other that still sticks with him all these years later.
We were one. Regardless of the different names that we have, we are still one people, one family. And at the end of the day, we are one Zambia, one nation.
One Zambia, one nation. But it's not always like that. When I was in the 10th grade, a guy named Hakainde Hichilema was running for president. He's a full-blood Tonga. At school, I heard people say Hichilema couldn't win because of the same old tribal stereotypes, like Tongas are stingy, greedy people, So Hichilema won't care about other tribes if he's in charge. He lost that election, by the way, to a man affiliated with a larger Bemba tribe.
People across Zambia this week are going to the polls in a tense general election dominated.
Last year we had presidential elections here in Zambia. Hichilema ran again this time.
Zambian opposition presidential candidate Akande Hichilema has expressed his concerns over the upcoming national elections.
Hichilema, in all honesty, it was an ugly time for politics in Zambia. The Bemba tribe had a majority in government.
There have been incidents of violence by ruling party and opposition supporters across the country in the run-up to the vote. President Edgar Lungu was killed. His relatives and friends say he was killed by opposition supporters.
People are not supposed to be killed like animals. No.
Politics became very centered on tribes and the division between them. As a Tonga, Hichilema presented a different option.
And in the final tally, Hichilema secured over 2.8 million votes. Hichilema took an early lead.
Hichilema won the election. In 2021, he became our first ever Tonga president.
Hichilema Hakainde to be president-elect of the Republic of Zambia.
He was supported by young people of all tribes. They voted in large numbers. And it seemed like the borders that once existed between tribes were shifting. And it still feels like that. That's partially because Zambia is urbanizing really fast. Lots of Zambians from different tribes are meeting and getting married. It's a process that began decades ago. And a lot of people are still trying to figure out how to navigate these changes.
I just loved the way she talked from the beginning. I loved the way she walks.
Mm. Fred Chanda is in his late 30s. He's talking about the day he fell in love.
She almost walks like those military personnel from the army.
Fred was crazy about this strong, confident woman he saw in church, Rachel. He says she walked like a soldier from the Zambian military. He liked that. She had long hair and brown eyes. 3 Sundays passed before he got up the nerve to talk to her.
I found him to be very funny and annoying at times, but I appreciated that he cared for me. And that just made me get attracted to him.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fred and Rachel started dating, and it turned into love. But there was one major problem. Rachel's family, Bemba, but Fred is a Tonga.
I personally loved Fred beyond what he was and where he came from.
Mm.
But to some of my relatives, it was a challenge, I must say.
To some of Rachel's family, Fred was wrong from the very beginning.
They lectured me on how Tonga men are, how they are greedy and selfish, but I never saw that in him.
The couple actually got engaged in secret, but Fred wanted to meet Rachel's father to ask for his permission to marry her. By that point, Rachel had finished university in Lusaka and moved back home to her parents' house in a city called Kasama. So Fred traveled up to Kasama to talk to Rachel's parents, face to face.
To be honest, I was nervous and scared of what the parents would really say about me. So I entered their house and I told myself, I have no chance of getting Rachel. Her father was serious, you know, no smiles, no greeting. Mm. So it was one of the most, you know, frightening moments of my life.
Mm.
Now I know, Rachel, you were seeing all this happening right in front of your eyes. How did you feel when Fred was inside your house?
Very, very uncomfortable. I was very nervous. I only hope that both my parents would be kind to him because he did so much for me.
Rachel's parents heard them out. Fred had even brought along his uncle to help negotiate the bride price with her father. That's something similar to a dowry. But Rachel's parents said no. A disappointed Fred went back home to Lusaka. Rachel stayed in Kasama with her parents.
After some days, Rachel called me and told me her father disapproved of our engagement.
Oh no.
So this really, really frustrated me. Yeah. And one of the lowest points actually in my life, that was it.
In the Zambian culture, there is an expectation that Rachel would obey her parents' wishes. But these two lovers could not face a life apart.
I told her to flee, to come join me in Lusaka.
Mm.
It was a risk move.
Very risky move.
It was a risk
move. When you say life is about risks, this wasn't a risk, it was a death trap.
It was a death trap, yes.
A death trap, because Rachel's father is a big, strong guy, much larger than Fred. And her father had a strong moral compass. He would not react well to his daughter lying and running off with a man she wasn't married to. But Rachel decided to go against her parents' wishes anyway. She told her father she wanted to visit a sick cousin in Lusaka. Soon, she was living with Fred.
Her parents kept calling and calling and calling her to go back home. It actually made them have suspicions that their daughter wasn't in good hands.
Mm.
Rachel's worried family eventually hatched a plan to get their daughter back. The family got one of their cousins to meet up with Rachel.
So my wife, not knowing the situation, she gave her instructions, like direction to where we were living.
The cousin gave Rachel's father directions to Fred's house instead. When her father arrived, as he saw it, to rescue his daughter, Fred had just gotten out of the shower.
When her dad saw me from taking a shower, it was chaos.
Fred stood there, just dripping wet in a towel, and looking at Rachel's dad, he was terrified. And for a moment, he thought about just running away. But Rachel's father didn't overreact too much, at least not in the moment. First, he took Rachel away from Fred, and then he called the authorities. Rachel's father claimed Fred had kidnapped his daughter. The next morning, the police arrested Fred.
I felt disgusted. I cried. I regretted what I did.
The police said they wanted to punish Fred for abducting a young woman.
They interrogated me for abduction, and they told me I would spend a night in the cells so that I could learn something, you know.
Rachel actually tried to get him out of jail before her dad took her home to Kasama.
I went to the police cells where he was detained to plead with the officers, but they did not understand. They told me they wanted to teach me a lesson. I cried and wept. The thought of my man spending a night in those cells, I just couldn't bear it. I hated my father. I never wanted anything to do with him. Just because someone is Tonga, then they should go through all this? I was devastated.
Rachel pleaded with her father that Fred was innocent, so much that her dad finally relented, and he asked the police to let Fred go. Once Fred was out of jail, the couple was separated again. Exactly what Rachel's dad wanted. Sending her lover to jail just made Rachel want to be with him more. But for Fred, the whole ugly scene made him think again.
I felt like giving up when I was first, you know, released from the prison. But I told myself that if her parents cannot accept me for my tribe, then this whole thing is useless, you know. It was not worth giving it another try.
But Rachel wasn't giving up so easily.
She insisted that she would stay by me. She proved in my lowest point, she decided to be there with me. And that really proved how much she loved me.
Oh, Rachel kept working on her father. Finally, she persuaded some of her more open-minded relatives to convince her dad to let his Bemba daughter marry a Tonga man.
He blessed me and Fred, but he told him it was my wish to marry a Tonga man and not his.
Fred and Rachel met with some friends and family at a church one day, and they got married. It wasn't necessarily a Tonga wedding, and it wasn't a Bemba wedding. Actually, hearing them talk about that day, the wedding sounds pretty similar to one you might see in the US, the UK, or in any country really. It wasn't exactly what Rachel had dreamt of, but
we had an option to either save for a bigger wedding and marry the following year, or just marry so that my dad shouldn't change his mind. So I decided we get married immediately.
Rachel says her father was very quiet on that day. He pretended to be happy, but it was obvious he was just putting on a good face. This intertribal marriage was clearly not easy for Rachel's dad, at least not at first, but she didn't hold it against him.
He too maybe was misled and told a bad perception about men from the south.
Rachel understood he was just trying to protect her, and with time, Rachel and Fred's families accepted their marriage. Recently, I got a WhatsApp message from Rachel. She was up in Kasama at her parents' house, the same house where Fred once unsuccessfully asked Rachel's dad for permission to marry her.
Sorry, the baby keeps crying.
Rachel had just given birth to a baby boy, the son of a new blended family, a modern Zambian.
I gave birth to a baby boy and his name is Luyando, which means love in Tonga.
As their son grows up, how he and his generation chooses to deal with tribalism will determine our future. Fred and Rachel decided to fight for love. Chanda and Chipego chose to cross the divide and embrace who they are, despite their family trying to set them apart. I believe Zambia is headed in a new direction. The proof is in families. They are changing all the time. For On Spec, I'm Angel Kasavo in Lusaka, Zambia.
What a beautiful story. And it's a story that truly makes sense of the old saying, change begins within families. In a world where conflict and violence can often seem overwhelming, it's really heartening to hear of a society slowly changing for the positive. Tribe and Prejudice was reported by Angel Kasabo and produced by Levi Bridges. Editing by me, Nadine Gori, Levi Bridges, and Elisa Resnick. We also had production help on this episode from Lewis King and Kafula Salamba. Special thanks also to Miles Lama. The next episode this season takes you to Peru and the so-called Wall of Shame that has divided a city between the wealthy and the poor. Don't forget, you can listen to all of this season on our website. And if you've ever admired the beautiful artwork that accompanies each of our podcasts, the credit for those goes to graphic designer Hatia Garib. Our journalism is supported by the IJ for EU Fund. You've been listening to OnSpec.